Pit Ends Podcast is brought to you this week and every week by the Brainstorm Brewery. Hello and welcome to the Pit Ends Podcast, episode number 83. I am your host, Angelo, and I'm back to you this week, as always, with Brother Ryan.
What up, what up?
Hello, Posse and NSA.
all you motherfuckers, what's up, man? Glad to be back. So
yeah, Ryan's back. Last week he had a problem. What happened?
Basically, every time I logged into Skype, it kept kicking me out and telling me that I needed to update to a new version because I was using an outdated version of Skype, it said. So I went to some forums or whatever. A bunch of people were complaining about it. Apparently it was a common occurrence. And turns out, to get the new Skype, I had to get an entire new software update on my computer. To get the software update on my computer, I had to, you know, order from Mac and then have a disk shipped to me. I was so far behind, bro. I don't even know what system of OS I was using, but, I had to update from like Snow Leopard to Lion to like Mountain Lion or something to like fucking all the, like basically through like four different new operating systems to get to the new one, which is OS X Mavericks. And
wait, it's not an animal?
No, it's not an animal anymore.
Aww.
Nah, it's Mavericks.
Mavericks, which is Mavericks. A deck full of animals. So yeah, I can deal with it.
All the updates were available online. Just mine was so old that it went back to before they started doing the online updates that I had to wait on a disc to come in the mail.
Good lord.
So yeah.
Update that shit more often, man.
Yeah, I've been using software since 2000, the same shit since 2010.
Good lord.
Yeah, dude. So major update, major overhaul on the computer, and Skype's back working though. So that's the main thing.
Okay, so Ryan is back for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Cool. WMCQs happened this past week, and over here in America, Stars and Stripes.
America.
Yeah, we got our first qualified guy. His name is Isaac Sears, and he got there running red aggro.
The same shit I ran this past week, dude. This deck is so goofy. So he's on that mono red, call it the new boss Sly Rabble Master red. There's also the Channel Fireball version, which doesn't run Hall of Triumph. That's the only difference. So this deck is 18 mountains, 3 mutavolts, 2 Ash Sellet, 4 Burning Trees, 4 Fire Drinkers, 3 Fire Fist Strikers, 4 Foundry Streets, 4 Goblin Rabble Masters. That card is fucking insane. It eats removal constantly, but if it lives for like 2 turns, especially if you got a Mutavolt, it's game over. It's like 9 or 10 damage over 2 turns. It adds up so quick. It really is unexpected. Like, it doesn't look that. It's really unassuming. I think when we did our set review, we completely glossed over this as a card.
Yeah, a little bit. I will say that this card single-handedly made me draft a hot soup.
Yeah. I mean, it's a funny fucking card, bro. If they don't answer it, it's lights out. 3 Legion Loyalists, 4 Rakdos Cackler, and 3 Ruble Belts round out the creature package. And the Ruble Belts, they're spells. Don't be fooled. You're just blood rushing.
Ruble Belts.
That's what I call it, man. I know. It's fucking the Russian. It's the ruble belt maka.
Those are rubles, by the way, not rubles.
Whatever.
Rubles.
Sounds like it. 3 lightning strikes, a hall of triumph, which I don't, in the version I'm running, I went with the Channel Fireball list, let's see who wrote an article, recently on it, played it at the Pro Tour to a platinum finish. Raf Levy and those guys, Jeremy Dazani got 9th, I believe, with the list. They opted for a Titan Strength. I think the Titan Strength is much, much better than, the Hall of Triumph. You're going to die to anger the gods and removal and board wipes anyways. Titan Strength is nuts. I love that card. 4 Stoke the Flames. That's also nuts. Like, it's really nice to go like turn 2 at Burning Tree, Stoke the Flames. That happens quite often. Let's see his sideboard, an additional Ash Sellet, 1 more Legion Loyalist, 1 Hall of Triumph, 2 Dynacharge, 4 Eidolons of the Great Rebel, 2 Magma Strait, 2 Mizzium Mortars, and 2 Skullcrack. This is the same sideboard everyone's running, except some people are opting for 2 more Titan Strength over the additional Hall of Triumph and I believe the 3rd Ash Sellet. So Ash Sellet gets cut a lot from this list, believe it or not. So
no, I can understand that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I played this list Friday. I went 2-2, unfortunately. I did keep a hand that I shouldn't have in a game three. That's kind of my fault. And then I ran into the beast that is Jund Planeswalkers round four. And all three games, he just was able to go like Caryatid Courser. Obviously that's hard for this list to beat. So
yeah, I was going to say I've played against similar lists online and I've never had a problem beating them.
Yeah,
and it's mainly because of Caryatid, Courser, and it's just like, haha.
Fun. I mean, the deck has the possibility. I know on one turn four, I swung for 20.
Damn. Just
20 damage on turn four. That's not, they were dead. It was literally a swing for 20. Yeah, I mean, the deck, it does have a lot of power. It comes out super, super quick, but man, I just, you gotta have a super good start, I guess. I mean, I'll probably get better playing the deck in weeks going forward and be able to report a bit better, but I did.
One drown in sorrow and you're fucked.
Yeah, well, in both my losses, like, I played a dredge deck the first round, which I had no, I mean, dredge just, it either does its thing or it doesn't, and he both games was like turn four, like, Angel of Serenity, they're like an Elspeth or something off an Obsidian Sage, it's just, yeah. It was goofy.
Ouch. So
that happened, yeah. And I did, I got Golgari Charmed against Jund Planeswalkers too, and that, you know.
Ouch.
Just is an ass kicking on this deck. I guess that's one reason you could opt for the Hall of Triumph. I could see that argument. Golgari Charm is, you know, a real prevalent threat that's, you gotta be on the lookout for now. So.
Yeah, it's like Rabble Master and Burning Tree Emissary are only creatures that survive one.
Yeah, it's pretty pants down when they throw it at you, and that did happen. So, I was able to save a dude with a Titan Strength, so that was good, but Hall of Triumph obviously would have been better, but.
Yeah. That's not what you want to use your Titan Strength on though.
Yeah.
That's really not what you want to use a Titan Strength for.
Through. It really is, helps you along with the Makas to get through those Coursers and shit, so. Yeah.
Contact
to play. We'll be seeing it in weeks to come, I'm sure. We'll have to keep our eyes on it. I think it's weak in a lot of matches. When it's really bad, it's really bad. And I hate playing decks like that.
Right. So second place was a black green devotion deck. This is the mono black deck with Nissa. We talked about this last week or the week before. It also has a Golgari Charm.
This is so funny. I fucking like, is Nissa this good? Is she really?
Dude, I've played against Nissa enough now. Yeah. Especially right now, because like,
I've opened four of them and I'm just kind of tempted to sell them and then pick up again when she's like 15.
The Overgrown Tombs make them so good. And to be honest, like, with my future testing or whatever we're doing, mono green's real, dude. Like, it's not going to fall off. So I don't think she's going to drop too much. She'll drop, but she ain't going to drop crazily.
She's the nuts, but really is this, if you're playing mono black, just go. I'm a stickler. You either just fucking play the mono black version or you splash white because Elspeth is the stone nuts and the white version just gives you a better sideboard options.
I don't know. Like, I mean, green does give you access to Abrupt Decay and Golgari Charm, and I still think Abrupt Decay is one of like the top two removal spells in the format. So
that double color though.
Yeah, that's tough. But right now, mana is so easy. I mean, like, the mana base on this is 4 Temple of Morality, 4 Overgrown Tomb, 4 Law Noir Waste. Guess what you're most of the time going to have, just with those 12? To hell with the rest of the lands, just those 12.
Yeah.
I mean, you have over 50% chance because there is a forest out of these 25. So 13 out of 25, you can play green.
Man, I this is a weird list. Very good. I mean, again, I think this deck probably got there to second place on the strength of just the mono black package and maybe the Nissa came in a game or two, and Abrupt Decay is obviously good, but if you're gonna splash, like, clearly as we've seen in recent weeks, like, white's the way to go. It's just the way it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna completely disagree with you, but I do see the merits for running the green.
Yeah, I think people want to try Nissa and fucking everything right now. I don't get it. She's good.
She's good. She is good. I'm sure, like, I'm sure you're right, though. Most of the day, he probably got by on his mono black, but he probably stole a couple games of Nissa as well, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's fair. Our third and fourth place decks were Jund Planeswalkers, and this deck, we've talked about it a couple times, but it's basically an Elvish Mystic, 4 Sylvan Caryatids, 4 Kruphix, Planeswalkers, 3 Zenigos, 1 Chandra, 2 Vraska, 2 Nissa, 1 Liliana, 1 Garruk. He got 4 Abrupt Decay, 2 Golgari Charms, a Putrefy, a Hero's Downfall, 2 Dreadbore, 3 Mizzium Mortars, 2 Reed to Bones, 1 Rakdos Return.
He's only running 1 Elvish Mystic. Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, he stacked all the Planeswalkers in there and all the removal, like all of it. His sideboard is 1 Rakdos Return, 1 Golgari Charm, 2 Anger of the Gods, 2 Pithing Needle, 2 Storm Breath Dragon, 3 Magma Spray, 4 Miscutter Hydra.
I'm glad to see Anger of the Gods has finally made it into the sideboard of this list. I was wondering when that would happen, like, and I've been working on a Jund Planeswalker list myself and definitely have 3 Anger of the Gods in the board.
It only makes sense. I mean, there's so many little creatures running around right now, like, why? Oh, yeah, not?
We've even seen Mono White Weenie top 8. In
yeah, that's what I mean. There's so many little creatures, and we know it's good against Mono Blue. There's only one thing it doesn't kill.
It's even incidentally good against, like, the Green-White aggro decks, which go a little bit bigger. I mean, just the Feasting Lines, Exiles, the Voice of Resurgence. Card's got a lot of utility.
Right. Third, fourth place, the other deck was Black Devotion. We don't need to talk about that.
Well, he is splash red. He is splashing that red for Rakdos Return. That's funny.
Oh, I didn't even notice. Wait.
Just 2 in the board.
Where? Oh, 2 in the board. Okay. Yep. Meh. So 5th through 8, we have Blue-White Cleansing. This is your Blue-White deck with Planar Cleansing. No real win cons.
Well,
it's Jace. Yeah, that's Jace. It.
He's got Jace Ultimate.
That's it. No real win cons. We have Jund Planeswalker following that up. What?
He does have a couple Mutavolts. That'll do it, I guess.
I suppose. Again, no real win cons.
That's funny.
We have a Mono Blue Devotion deck that really just, does anything ever change? I mean, he got the sliver in his.
God, I don't like that.
We have Black Aggro also to round out the 5th through 8.
Yeah, that's surprising, but Gabe Carlton Barnes is the one running that Black Aggro. I believe he's been on this list for a long time, and it's kind of his wheelhouse. So
I feel you. I know I have played it a few times online and crush it every time. Play with it just does not seem like a good deck to me. But
I think I've seen articles by this guy on the archetype. So
yeah, I mean, if you run it a lot, you'll get the hang of it, I guess.
Yeah. Interesting, the Robert Bundy's Jund Planeswalkers in 7th, no Elvish Mystics at all. And that's probably the right call.
Probably. So. I mean, you put in that one Mystic as an in-case
They're really not trying to ramp turn 4s on turn 3. You're more trying to ramp your turn 5s out onto turn 4.
That's just in-case. Like, I'll put 1 in here, and if I do, for some reason, pull that, one forest. Or actually, Bundy has 3 of them in here. I think the other one only had 1.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not. It had none in his. But, all the other, he had Stomping Grounds and shit. So, yeah. But if you do rip that forest, I can, hurry up and press something out a little early. But it's not what the deck's built around. You don't really need to.
Yeah.
Okay. So, congratulations to our
top 8 there, Channel Fireball, and their terrible, terrible coverage.
Oh, my God. Just this page alone with the deck list, in the one list, it was like creatures and Nissa's in it. And then the next list is non-creature spells and they're all down, all the planeswalkers are below it. And then on the one list, 2 Ash Zealots are in the lands. Come on, man. But congratulations to Mr. Sears. He's going to represent us over here in America at the, World Magic Cup.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That would be so cool to do. Really would. A little fervor got popped up on the page this week because there's an article. I got told about this and I was like,
what? Yeah, this is bullshit if it's true. Like, this is complete bullshit.
Yeah, and I mean, if you read it.
Me off if it's true.
This is from Sam Stodd, and at the very bottom there's the changing face of Wrath. Okay.
It's on the official
page,
this article. So this isn't like something on Reddit or something like.
Right. We're not making this up. Basically what he says in here, and I don't want to read the whole thing to you because you can go check that out yourself, but we know for a fact that this next standard season will have zero, count them, 4 mana Wrath of God effects. None. Whatsoever.
Wait, say that again?
None. Whatsoever.
Just in this next set, or?
Well, see, that's the thing. I know that nobody at Wizards is allowed to make long-term
announcements
except Morrow, but they can hint at it.
Yeah, this is horseshit. If this is welcome to fucking Kaijudo, this is what they've pushing, man. This is their going battle cruiser, man.
Dude, it's Yu-Gi-Oh!
It's Like, who can fucking, who's got a bigger dick on the battlefield?
I mean, the important things here is it's in the future. It is possible you will see more 3 and 4 mana board wipes that are conditional, like Anger of the Gods and 4 mana mass removal spells with a little upside. Without the gold standard of 4 mana white sweepers, more cards become playable in standard. Okay. But there's one sentence in here that he kind of hints, and I, for some reason, cannot find it at this moment, but trust me, it's in there. Go look for it. But basically, he kind of makes the hint that this is it. Like, in a world without Supreme Verdict or other 4 mana mass removal spells, we could make more interesting cards for standard and hopefully allow more meaningful deck decisions. That wasn't it.
Hey, what's going to happen is the format's just going to become the fastest fucking creature deck possible, and whoever draws their nutty hand against the opponent playing the same hyper fast aggro deck, that's all it's going to be. When you don't have to worry about getting your board swept turn 4 or 5, whatever, and having to win really quickly, like, that's all the metagame's going to admit. Forget about mid-range. Forget about control. You're not even going to see mid-range, which is what they think is going to happen, and it's not. It's not going to happen. With the removal of Wrath effects, it's just going to become whoever can win the fastest. That's it. So it's just going to become hyper-fast, 1 and 2 drop dudes, whoever wins quick.
Yeah.
That's fucking dumb.
Yeah. Hey, look, you ain't got to get me started on this. Like, I mean, I read this over about 9 times.
We'll get rid of Wrath because people will play big creatures. No, they won't.
No, they're going to get smaller
creatures. Oh, my God.
And, you know, they do make this point that during Lorwyn era standard, and I remember this because I played, there was no 4-mana sweeper in the format. And people used Austere Command, okay, which was okay. Not great. It was okay. But this is also during a time when they had cards that control was still viable because they had this whole little group of cards called fairies. And if that's how you want control to be, I don't think anybody wants to live through that again. It's like, oh yeah, these creatures are going to counter everything and then beat you in the face with it.
I don't get it. I don't know who they think they're catering to. Like, the game, like, they're doing, like, just huge changes left and right, man, from tournament play to gameplay, like, just massive overhauls. Like, I don't understand this. Like, why can't they apply this, like, complete teardown logic to fucking MTGO? I don't get it. Why?
They're pandering to the newer crowd of players that have come in recent years who came from other games, who didn't start with Magic. Cause, like, okay, I can remember when I was younger and I started playing. This is how Magic was, can't think of the word. Marketed.
Yeah.
It is a game. A player versus another player. They use magic and cunning to outduel the player sitting across from you.
It's smarts, and they're jumping.
There's nothing. I mean, it's just, I mean, the critters sucked for a reason. The spells was what you did. That's what won you games. The creatures just cleaned up the mess afterwards. And now it's the creatures win you the game and clean up the mess.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous. And if they think that's what their player base wants, look, people come to Magic because they want, it's a mental game, like a mental challenge. They don't want to just sit down and, hey, do you have 2 lands and a bunch of 1 and 2 drop dudes? Okay, well, you have more than me. Okay, so you win this game, next game. Like, what the fuck, man?
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying since I got in the game, what happened to Counterspell and shit? Like, I don't understand this. Like, I got into the game because it's mental and it, you know, it's something that makes you think and, like, you know, sure, there's luck and some variance involved and whatnot, but by and large, like, you know, it took some mental fortitude. Like, this is just, they're just dumbing it down. They're just completely dumbing it down for little kids.
Yeah, they're changing the spot removal as well. There's not going to be as many. And they've already begun to make these changes with cards like Ultimate Price.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's conditional spot removal.
Conditional, yeah.
I mean, it's not, you just die. Yeah, I mean, it's still good. Don't get me wrong. But it is different. It's not like, you know, Doomblade.
Yeah, they're going more the way of, like, Ulcerate and shit now.
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of sucks. But, you know, that is what it is, and we're going to have to learn to live with it.
I guess. I mean, from what I understand, people always scream that they're killing the game or whatever, so.
They do, and it always survives.
I'm new to this bandwagon or whatever of saying they're fucking killing the game. I don't think they're killing the game, but they're definitely dumbing it down, and it's a disappointment. It really is. This isn't a game like, it's not meant to me. It's not meant for like little kids, man. It's way too expensive to me to be meant for like 12-year-olds to play.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I enjoy seeing the 12-year-olds get to the top, like especially in like Legacy where it's so mental.
Yeah.
But those kids become prodigies.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's cool when they get there because they're prodigies. But aside from that.
Like that little kid that writes for Star City Games. What's his name? AJ or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit's cool.
Yeah.
But you know, it is what it is. We had a couple, spoilers released. I'm sorry about all the people. I'm just a little out of it tonight. We had some spoilers released though for Cons. We know that we're getting, the three color lands that everybody thought we was going to get.
Yeah. And it's nice that they're uncommons, right?
Yeah. That's what they were in Shards as well. They're very similar to Shards, lands, but now they're wedge lands.
Explain to me. All right. New people and have people have no idea what you mean by Shards. What? Explain that.
Shards of Alara. I believe one of the cards was called like Arcane Laboratory and it would tap for Esper colors. So it came into the battlefield tapped.
Is so like Esper and Jund, those are like actually, those are Shards.
Those are Shards, yes. Esper, Jund, Bant, Naya.
Junk?
No, not Junk. Junk is a wedge. Shards are one color and the two colors that touch it on the color wheel.
Okay.
Where a wedge is two colors that touch and the enemy color. So like red, white, black, where if you look at the color wheel, black and red touch and white is the enemy color of both of them.
Do they have some like flavor story behind the shards and shit?
Well, during Shards of Alara, yes, they did. They came up with a story with the shards.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll have that with the wedges then.
It sounds like it. I mean, they gave them all stupid fucking names, so I would assume that they are.
Okay.
but the two that we've seen so far is Mystic Monastery and Nomad Outpost. Nomad Outpost taps for red, black, or white. It comes into the battlefield tapped. The Monastery, wait, that was a Nomad Outpost, yeah. Mystic Monastery taps for blue, red, and white. And it comes into play tapped. These are your draft fixers, and they will see standard play.
I mean, they're probably gonna have to see standard play, bro. I mean, we're losing Docklands.
It's just weird to see an uncommon land that comes into play tapped, seeing a lot of play.
It's better than a guild gate, so I don't know. I guess the guild gates gave you more color options, but because we had all of them, but.
Yeah, but you know, if you play within the wedges, these are like the best cards you can drop turn one. You drop this turn one, you take turn one off, and then turn two, you follow it up with something because it's just all the fixing. You got all your colors right there.
Yeah, I don't mind these lands. I don't think they're super great or whatever. I'm eager to see what they follow it up with, Onslaught Fetches.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking. But I've been saying it for a while.
Yeah, I hope we get Onslaught Fetches. I think Modern needs them. People might disagree with me. We don't need more shuffling in Modern, that's for sure, but.
I mean, if you're gonna have one set of the fetches in there, I think you need the other one.
You might as well. Yeah, I would love to see the rest of them, so. Yeah, fetches would be sweet, and I'm pretty sure that's where they're gonna go.
Yeah, I think so too. You have room because these are the uncommon lands, like you still have rare lands you can put in, and that gives you the room to put those in there.
Which sucks, cause I actually, when I saw this on the Facebook page, was it you or somebody that posted this, I was kinda like, good on WotC for putting an uncommon land that fixes multiple colors, that you know, is not a barrier to entry for people getting in.
Yeah, and then I told you, wait, there's still room for fetches.
And then, and then you mentioned that, and I was like, oh shit, yeah, we're actually probably gonna get the Onslaught Fetches, and those are gonna be, I don't know, any predictions? I'm sure they're gonna be more than the shocks, probably, when those first came out.
When they first come out, probably, but I think they'll drop rather quick.
I would hope so.
Just because of packs being opened. I mean, it's just going to happen. You'll probably settle around 10 like the original fetches did. I can remember actually during Zendikar when you can get a fetch for like $8.
Sweet.
Yeah. And, you know, and then of course they came back up. They rocketed back up, I should say. Once, you know, especially once Modern came out, it became unreal, the prices of the things. But yeah. They settled typically during the standard season when that set wasn't the one being drafted, right around between 15 and 20, depending on what was being played. So Yeah, which, I can live with that.
Like, I'm one of those people, I gotta have the land base the first week. Like, that's just, I'm fucking type A like that.
Yeah, I'm just gonna draft until I get them. Cause they're rares, they're not that hard to get in drafts. Especially when you figure, you know, there's going to be, what, 10 of them?
Yeah, lands I gotta pre-order, man. That's just...
10 rare? Shit, I'll do like 6 drafts and I'll have a few of them.
There you go. Great colors you want.
Let's move into some of these other cards. We have Zergo Helm Smasher, which we went over before. He was at 7-2.
And his art is sick.
It is. The art is insane.
I like the orc
warrior. Yeah. Red, white, black, too. Haste, Zergo Helm Smasher attacks each combat if able. Zergo Helm Smasher is indestructible as long as it's your turn. And whenever a creature deals damage to Zergo Helm Smasher this turn, dies, put a +1/+1 counter on them. So if they're dumb enough to block it, it gets bigger.
Is it me, or do the orcs in Magic look exactly like the orcs in the new Hobbit movies?
It's not just you.
They look, I mean, it's identical. I wonder who's going to sue who for intellectual property, because it's like fucking identical.
I don't know. It's awful close. 1,000 Winds. Now, this one's cool. 4/2 blue, flying. 5/6, morph. 5/2 blue. When 1,000 Winds is turned face up, return all other tap creatures to their owner's hands. That is mean.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm seeing these mechanics for the first time. The fuck is Morph?
Okay, Morph, you can play the creature upside down for 3 generic mana. It doesn't matter what color it is, okay?
And hey, this is Morph 7, 5, yes. 2 blue. Okay.
That's how you flip it, okay? You can play it for 3, and then for 5/2 blue, you can flip it over. And then when he is flipped over, you return all other creatures tapped to their owner's hands.
So that's cool. This is a returning mechanic, right?
Yes, it is. And for people who didn't play, at the end of a game, you must flip over your morphed creatures. You must show that those are, in fact, morphed creatures. If you cannot do that, and you do not do that, they can call a judge. So if you're in a big tournament, don't just shuffle them in after they concede. Flip the cards over, because they can call a judge over and say, he had a flipped over creature, and he didn't show me what it was. To you don't prove that it was a morphed creature.
Okay, so you don't... That's the thing, man. I was thinking in my head, why couldn't you just take a card from your hand and put it face down and be like, that's a fucking morph card?
Yeah, well, at the end of the game, if he concedes to you or whatnot, or you win by sheer damage, you must flip over all those creatures and show that they, in fact, were morph creatures. If they're not, you are going to get a game loss for cheating.
That's crazy. I like this mechanic. Seems like it creates some, like, interesting gameplay.
Oh, yeah, dude, I loved playing with Morph when it was out. It just makes you think so much. Like, you'll just look at a deck, and what the hell could that be? Like, you really have to know what are in decks.
And yeah, no kidding. What
possible fringe cards could be in there as well.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to do is walk into just a complete blowout by a morphed creature.
Yeah, this shit seems fun. It seems like a fun mechanic. I don't know. I'm not completely sold on it yet. Obviously, this is the first, like, card spoiled I've seen with it, so.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be interesting to see where they take this, yeah.
There's some good ones. Mardu Heart Piercer is red, and it has raid.
Okay, raid. Is this... Are the mechanics, this one is in italics, so is this like, color or wedge
dependent? It's wedge dependent. All these are gonna be wedge dependent, I've been told. That's why they have the picture of the, except Morph, I believe. But if you look at the card, it has the clan's picture.
Okay.
The back of it. And what raid does is when Mardu Heart Piercer enters the battlefield, if you attack with the creature this turn, Heart Piercer deals 2 damage to target creature or player, and this is a 2/3/4 at uncommon.
That's solid and sealed and draft.
Yeah, I think what raid is going to be, I think it's great in draft, but I think what raid is going to be, and the reason you notice the italics is, it's going to be raid, but that second ability, the 2 damage thing, is not going to be on everyone. It's going to be something different for everything.
Sweet.
Like, cause it could be like, all right, so yeah, raid with this clan, the clan that this one is the red, white, black one, right?
Yeah.
So it could be a black ability where it's like, you know, gets minus X, target creature gets minus X, minus X until end of turn.
Yeah, this is sweet. I like this mechanic. I'm really excited about this mechanic, actually.
So am I. I want to see some more of them and see how powerful this can be, but I can tell you right now, that card right there, I'm going to draft a lot of those.
Yeah, it's definitely solid. That's a real good card in draft.
I'm going to draft a lot of those. And the last one we got here is Jeskai Elder, and people really enjoyed this one. This is Prowless. And this is a 1-2 for 2. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. So it can become a 2-3 for 2. That's pretty damn good. But whenever Jeskai Elder deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card if you do discard. So it loots.
Yeah, this is bad.
It's bad.
I don't like this card.
Dude, it's a better scroll thief.
Yeah, I don't like this card. The mechanic seems alright, seems legit, but how much are you going to be able to pump this dude in one turn?
I don't care. A 2-3 that has that attached to it on turn two, I'm happy with.
I mean, it'll
I'm thinking of it more in a limited sense,
yeah,
I guess.
I was thinking about it in Constructed, and I cannot see this in Constructed.
I can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just going to throw this out there. We have this thing.
They're not played that are less conditional than this.
Yeah, but we have this thing out there right now called Nykthos. You can play a lot of cards on a turn, man.
Yeah, but
especially like the mono blue deck that's out now. I mean, some cards are going
to. Oh, there's definitely no room in that deck for this.
But the thing is, a lot of those cards are going to be gone, and this could become your two drop, and then you drop a Master of Waves behind this thing. Oh my god, dude! It says cast, so that is different. So you're not going to get the tokens. Yeah.
Whenever you cast a non-creature. That's the thing. How many non-
Oh, non-creature. I thought I said creature. I'm sorry. Blue, you can cast a few.
Yeah, I don't really.
Divination, make them bigger, draw some cards.
We'll see what else they do with this mechanic. It's just so weird to me that making blue, like, aggressive is just odd.
Yeah, it's not. It's not the way it's supposed to be.
No. Makes no sense to me. And I haven't even been playing this game forever like you have, so it just is, just completely just doesn't feel right.
No.
It just doesn't feel blue at all.
No. It absolutely does not feel blue at all.
Yeah.
So those were the spoilers that have been released thus far in cons. And last week I made mention about a little AMA, I put it up on the Pit Imps group because literally no tournaments really happened this week. So we needed some time killers. So I asked for some questions. And for all of you who posted your question on the Facebook group, I'm not reading those because everybody else has seen them and I have seen them and I have had time to come up with an answer. I don't want to do it that way. We got three people who wrote us questions. I have not looked at these yet. I have no clue what they say.
That's the way to do it.
That is the way to do it.
Oh, man, I haven't seen the Facebook questions, man. What do we got on here?
It was like, why is Vanilla Ice say AMA when it's A1A anyway? So what's the point of that? And just, you know, you can go answer them later. The first one we got was from Braden Defoe.
Yay, Braden. I love Braden, man. He's kind of like a super fan of late.
Yeah. So.
And sorry, Braden. I know, just address Braden real quick. He wanted us to address an issue tonight, and I appreciate him, wanting, you know, to hear our insight on that and shit. I mean, obviously.
It's not something that I'm
going to, but yeah, I mean.
It's just not made for this show.
I'm a co-host on here. We don't even have to discuss why we're not going to talk about it. Yep. So shout out to Braden though, man. Much love. And he's been hella active on the Posse page. So I'm not surprised at all that we got a question from him. Good day.
So it goes like this. Hi guys. I don't know how much filler you need for the episode. So I ask an incredibly complex, convoluted question that should eat up a bunch of dead air and likely cause some amount of arguing that we, the listeners, love to hear. The scenario. You, the Pit Imps, have been put on the development team for the next core set. Oh, Jesus. Your unremarkable qualifications of Ryan actually playing standard sometimes and Angelo being an old fogey who actually remembers old cards make you suitable for the job. Sure. Fair enough.
Hang on. Did you hear that, Watsy? We're qualified.
We're qualified. So says Braden. So is the law.
Canadians don't fucking lie. They don't.
They're nice. We are tasked with deciding on 6 cards to be in the set, one of each color and an artifact. This comes with the stipulation of being cards that have not been printed in modern card frame and that are balanced enough to not outright warp standard. Which cards do you choose? Alternatively, I can ask a shorter yet equally polarizing questions of Mary Fuck Kill, Scotty Mac, Maddie Studios, or Chewy. So let's answer the first question that he has in there first, which is, 6 cards by color. Let's start with one.
Wait, 6 of each color?
No, 1 card of each color and an artifact.
Okay, and these are old cards. Do I need to open
them? No, they don't have to be old. It's just, they have not been printed in the modern card frame.
Which means what?
Which means pretty much, what is that? Well, hell, now the new modern card frame is only M15. I mean, we could, like, go crazy on him because they have changed the card frame again.
Yeah, what does he mean by that?
I think he means, like, M10 up.
Okay.
So let's see here. White.
Go back here. Can white. I say, can we unanimously agree on blue counterspell?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a waste of time not to. That's just what we're going to do.
Get that out of the way. Has that not been printed in the?
I don't believe. I think it's the last printing was 7th edition.
I'm looking it up now. Oh, well, it's been released in a bunch of fucking stupid.
Yeah, but I'm not counting those stupid other things. It's I just refuse to.
Masters. It just came out in Vintage Masters online.
Yeah, but that doesn't. I mean, that's online, man. That's online only. I ain't worried about that. So blue set, we're going to say counterspell. And if it wasn't counterspell, if for some reason I'm not allowed to have that, I'd say days or force of will.
And I'll agree with you on both of those.
Actually, you know what? I'm not on blue. I'm not going to counterspell. I'm going force of will.
Sure. Force of will is, yeah, I would love to see force of will.
I would love to see it in modern. That's the big reason I would want to see it. And I don't think it would destroy, standard.
No, really. Not at all, man. I don't think it would at all. It really, I mean, it's.
It'd be a good card in standard, but it wouldn't change it.
You're asking blue to throw away a card, which is something they don't want to do. Like, I think it's a fair card. I don't see force of will as anything overpowered. Like, it's inherent part disadvantage.
It's not. Force of will, for the most part, is there to stop combo decks.
Oh, yeah, it's a good card. Like, I would love to see Force of Will. I would love to see Days. Yeah, good on both of those.
The only nice thing about Force of Will in the current standard would be the fact that you could counter a Thoughtseize.
Which would be so nice.
It would be! You know, I got this one answer. It's going to be, I'm going to beat him with it. And then he goes Thoughtseize and you go, fuck!
I really do. I hate Thoughtseize. I'm so glad Packrat's gone. And I think that'll take some of the edge off the power that Thoughtseize has in the current metagame, but. Yeah, no. It's still a great card. Well, I mean, cause turn one Thoughtseize into turn two Packrat is damn near unbeatable. I think
turn one Thoughtseize into turn two anything is tough.
Look, turn one Thoughtseize is always going to be good. It's super powerful, but I think with Packrat, it's a bit much. And I think once Packrat's gone, it's still going to be super powerful. It's a great card, obviously. I just don't think it's going to be as frustrating to people.
You know what? With that whole no more four mana wraths thing, I hope they never make another pack rat type card.
I do too.
Because you will never beat that without a wrath.
Yep.
So white, what do you got for white, Ryan? Give me something good.
Story circle.
Story circle. What's in the modern frame?
I'm just fucking with you, man. That's a terrible card.
I shouldn't like that. Never mind.
White. Well, we can't do swords, can we?
Yeah, we probably could.
Does that seem?
Yeah, we could. You could say swords. I'm not going to go with swords because I have a pet card that I like in white.
It was in the dual deck, Elspeth vs. Tezzeret.
I'm not counting side decks. I just ain't.
Conspiracy. It did just come out in Conspiracy again. I don't know. We don't count that either. So
yeah, because you can't play Conspiracy in standard, so I'm not counting it.
Man, swords would be fucking awesome. I'm not going to go with a spell, though, even though I kind of like the spell theme because we've been bitching about creatures this episode.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like we're on to something here. Like, just stick with spells. Mother of Runes would be awesome.
Good call. I'm going to go with Land Tax because I'm evil.
That's a sweet one too. I would, as a modern Death and Taxes player.
You'd love a Land Tax.
Yes. Yes, I would. Get the art on it with the fucking pimp,
with the chubby face dude just sitting there with his cash.
And the long weird mustache.
With the money bag. That's the thing I like the best. He has a money bag.
Why is there a pimp on the card Land? His hat is even fur. Purple fur.
I know, dude.
Drew this card.
Dude, old school magic art, it gets a lot of shit from people, but there's some good funny art on there.
This is classic. No, is this the guy that drew, who is the one, Jasper Myforce? He has the weird art, like the zebra, the guy riding the zebra.
Yeah.
Jasper Myforce. What is that card? The Scout?
Acacian Scout?
No, it's the one that makes... It's some sort of...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. He's the zero one that when he attacks or blocks doesn't take damage or something like that. I know what you're talking about.
It makes everyone has to block him or something.
Yeah, that's a silly card. He is riding a zebra. I know exactly what card you're talking about.
If we're wrong on this posse, let us know what card that is. That's some of my favorite art. I should know it, but... Yeah, Land Tax, straight up. We'll go with the pimp. I like
okay,
that.
So apparently Ryan's agreeing with me. And the problem is, Ryan, I think we're both supposed to come up with six cards. So you got Mother of Runes.
I got Mother of Runes, there you go.
I got Land Tax. For blue, you have Counterspell, I have Force of Will. Man, this is setting up to be so much fun for me in blue-white. Okay, black. What are you printing in black?
Is Dark Ritual overpowered?
Yeah, probably.
When's the last time Dark Ritual?
Sixth, seventh? It's been in some dual decks.
Dark Rit came out, last was printed in, fucking Mercadian Masks?
Yeah, it was at Masks Block.
That's more recent than I thought. Is it Masks?
That's about 7th edition era. 7th, 8th edition.
Is Mercadian Masks Modern legal? Or do I just not see anybody playing those cards?
They are not.
Okay. I was like, I don't see.
You would see Brainstorms everywhere if they were Modern legal.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Dark Ritual would be cool. I mean, I don't know. There's fucking, what's the tutor? I mean, there's obviously some great tutors. Demonic
tutor. Yeah. You know what? I would say keep anything on the restricted list off because that is going to warp standard.
Is Demonic Tutor on the restricted list?
It's on the banned, Andrew. It's on the banned list for Legacy, and for Vintage, it's on the restricted list.
What about Vampiric Tutor?
Vampiric, I believe. Let's see. Visions printed. I think it's legal in Legacy. I believe so.
Vampiric Tutor sets some legality. Yeah, no, it's banned in Legacy, restricted in Vintage.
Okay, yeah. Yes. So those are a little too strong for you, bro.
Damn. What's a good early black creature? What was that? Lord of the Pit was.
Oh, that's Garge. I'm just going to name mine now. I would put him there.
Ooh.
Yeah, him to Torax, just fucking amazing.
That's already in Modern.
It's in Modern?
Yeah.
When was him reprinted?
No, it's not.
It's in Legacy.
Is it? Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't see anybody ever playing it, so.
If it was in Modern, people would play it. The card is stupid strong. For 3 mana, they discard 2.
For 2 mana.
For 2 mana, they discard 2. Well, fuck. Even better. And I would make it the Wolf Picture, just saying.
Looks like it came out, yeah, Masters Edition from the Vault 20. Yeah, from the Vault 20, so.
Yeah, the last printing, I believe, was in Fallen Empires.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, so what's your black card? Come on, bring something.
Dark Ritual.
Dark Rit. Okay, that might warp it, but okay.
Nothing wrong with a turn one Liliana, man.
No, nothing at all. Nothing at all. That wouldn't warp the format at all. You know what? He's absolutely right. Turn one Desecration. No, you can't do turn one Desecration.
No, but you could do turn one Liliana.
You absolutely can. That's fair.
That's
so,
a broken thing I think of. I mean,
red.
Bob. I don't know. Red.
Bob's Ooh. In the Modern frame. Can't do it.
Red. Yeah, but you could also do turn one Bob, which is pretty decent.
Yeah. So, red. What you got for me?
Oh, man. I always was a big fan of Guerrilla Tactics.
That was reprinted.
Was it? Fuck.
10th edition, yeah. I'm almost certain. Because it was in a Storm deck that was pretty good during Time Spiral.
Damn. Well, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I just like that card. What about, Fire Blast?
That's not bad. Okay. I'm not gonna argue with Fire Blast. I'm going to go with Lackey.
That's good.
I want Goblin Lackey in Standard.
What does Goblin Lackey do?
When he deals damage, you can put a goblin from your hand into play.
Oh, that would be sweet.
Just.
How much mana does he cost?
One red.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Does he have haste?
No.
Okay, I was going to see how broken this card can get.
But you could go Lackey, swing turn 2, put out a Rabble Master.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good.
Yeah, it could be fun.
Yeah, so that was last in Urza's Saga. See, I like Fire Blast is it Pyroblast? Yeah, I like Pyroblast too, man.
Counter target blue spell.
Pyroblast would be so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, since we're putting all these good blue spells in, that might not be a bad choice.
Pyroblast is just an awesome red sideboard card. I mean, we see it in Legacy. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we're on to green. Green is tough.
Man,
okay, Ryan, so did you think of a green card?
Yes, I am thinking of Natural Order.
Would that break standard?
That's not the one that whenever you play a creature card, draw a card, but it is very good. It's the, as an additional cost, sack a green creature, search your library for a green creature, put it on the battlefield, shuffle your library. Seems good.
Actually, yeah, that does seem pretty damn good.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard before I cut out there, when I was a kid, I was a big fucking fan of Briar Shield.
Just no, I did not hear that. Briar Shield.
I had a goofy green deck. So yeah, dude, Briar Shield, man. It's, one green, right? So just a forest, enchanted creature gets +1/+1, and you sack it, enchanted creature gets +3/+3 until end of turn.
I remember what it does.
Yeah, I liked that card when I was little, so.
Yeah, it's really a shame, because I would say Rancor Snap Pick, but they just reprinted it, like, out of the blue.
I can't think of the life of me, though, for the name of that fucking card. This is going to drive me crazy, dude.
Oh, well. My green card is going to be, God damn it, I want to say Tarmogoy so bad, but I know that that's not allowed.
That's not allowed. Well, Modern Masters, yeah.
Yeah, that, and it was in Future Sight. That's Modern card, right? So, I'm going to say, I don't know, random green creature. Green's tough for me because every creature in it was like correct, you know, and god damn it. All right, yeah, I'm going to pass. I don't have
any natural order.
Well, that's what you said. I got to come up with something different, and I'm not allowed to use like giant growth or anything like that.
You can't use the same card.
Yeah.
If there is Glimpse.
Yeah, I'll go Glimpse. Yeah, if it's legal and it's not in a modern card frame, I'll go.
That's the fucking card I was thinking of, dude, was Glimpse of Nature. Yeah, that's the one whenever you cast a creature spell. That was in Champions of Kamigawa, which is pretty...
That's a modern card frame.
Yeah, that sucks.
So my green is just going to be Avoid Fate. Yeah, which it was reprinted. I don't care. That's what it's going to be. Go to hell. Fuck off. it was reprinted in fucking Time Shifted. So, you know, it was a bonus set behind Time Spiral. I don't want to hear it.
Artifact, though. This one excites me. Are we on to Artifact?
Yes, we're on Artifact. Which one are you doing?
Oh, man. Can we say Jester's Cap or is...
You could say Jester's Cap. That has never been reprinted.
I love me some Jester's Cap.
That's a good fucking call, Ryan.
Yeah. Jester's Cap would be sweet to see. Meekstone. Meekstone didn't see a recent printing, did it?
Yes. Fuck. I want to say 8th?
Yeah, Meekstone 7th edition, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, that might
be... That's still old, though.
Yeah, that might be right in that wheelhouse where it's good and allowable.
I have Meekstones in my collection that were creatures with power 2 or greater don't untap before they changed it to 3.
I feel ya. I'm just going to...
That Meekstone come back.
I am just gonna awesomely just go with Smokestack because, yeah, why the hell not?
Smokestack.
Dude, Stacks is... Stacks. Love me some Stacks.
Smokestack's pretty fucking cool.
It is. I love me some Stacks.
It is coming out in the new From the Vault. So there you go. Pick up your new.
Yeah, I know. That's the only reason I might buy one. Because that thing is garbage. We went over it last week. And as a bonus, we're going to come up with a land, and I'm going to do Maze of Ish.
And you got to have Smokestack with the old art, though, that, like...
Oh, yeah.
That is some goofy-looking fucking art.
Yeah. As far as... we're going to go a land. We'll give them a bonus. I'm going Maze of Ish. What are you going?
Ooh. Fucking Wasteland. I can't pick Wasteland, can I?
I think you can.
Yeah, I'll go with Wasteland or Caracas.
Okay, there you go. There's our picks there. And his second question was Mary Fuck Kill, Scotty Mac, Maddie Studios, and Chewy. I'll do mine first, I guess. I'm going to marry Chewy because he's just, he's so lovable. I guess I'm going to fuck Maddie because I can't kill him because I'm afraid TSG would take that show over.
Oh, that's a good fucking point. Wouldn't that be fucking a crime?
Yeah, and I guess I'm going to have to kill Scotty Mac. Sorry, Scotty. But dude, I know. As a bonus, when I kill you, maybe I can take your spot on the Community Cup.
I don't know. I'd fuck them all, I guess.
You got to marry. You got to fuck it. You got to kill one, man. It's not that hard to do these.
Not into him. Ah, kill, really? We got to be violent here. All right. Let's see. No, I'm just kidding. Megan's rolling her eyes at me. I will marry Chewy as well. He's a fellow ginger. He seems like he'd be a loyal dude there. I'd have to go with the Chewy. I'd have to go Chewy.
Okay. Who are you killing?
Who am I killing? Fuck, man. Fuck it. I'll kill Maddie Studios for letting TSG come on that show.
Okay.
So we'll do that. And,
you're fucking Scotty Mac.
I'm fucking Scotty Mac because I love his philosophy on magic. I love how he approaches the game. I eat up everything he has to say about it. I'd fuck Scotty Mac. Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so our next set of questions comes from Oh Boy. All right, this should be interesting. These ones come from Sid.
Uh-oh.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Uh-oh. I'll read it. What's up, Posse? I'm wondering what your thoughts are on doping while playing Magic. We all know Angelo loves to drunk draft, and I can only assume Ryan is blazed when he goes to F&M. Yes. I myself have had much success with speed. I feel like the high produced by speed helps me focus while also giving me a fun and immersive enhancement to the overall game. Also, do you consider that kind of thing unethical when playing a big tournament? A good buddy of mine took Vivance at the Las Vegas Invitational last winter that he scored off of an anonymous pro player that you see on SEG coverage quite often. Keep the good shit rolling, fellas.
First of all, Vivance is terrible. If you're going to go with an amphetamine of any kind, like, why would you take that one? Adderall is 100% the way to go.
Dude, you know what?
I don't fuck with that shit. I don't fuck with that shit. I have and I used to. And like, you know, I like my uppers way too much. I can't fuck with them. I'm the kind of dude, like, I went to rehab for cocaine. I'll just throw that out there years ago. So for anyone who doesn't know that already, or is maybe a new listener, hasn't heard me say that before. So I don't.
Okay.
I don't fuck with the uppers, man. I just, you know, I'm a different kind of person and just can't. I can't handle them, you know what I mean?
I get what you're saying, but you're not answering his question.
I don't care about it. If you want to do it, believe me, I know that half the pros at the Pro Tour are geeked out of their mind on Adderall. It's a fact. This is the name of the game.
I'm not going to lie. When I go to a GP, like round one, I take like 4 B12 pills.
Sure.
And I mean, I know that that's healthier, but trust me, you take 4 B12 pills, you're geeked. So I don't think it's unethical. I don't really care.
No, I don't either. Whatever, man. Whatever floats your boat, dude.
I mean, if you choose to take something and it doesn't enhance your play, then you fucked yourself. Like, that's you have to know your body.
I'm stoned as fuck and then misplay and it's like, oh shit, if I wasn't high.
Yeah, really, you know what I mean? If I wasn't high, I wouldn't have missed it.
Yeah, but it's whatever, man. Some people like to smoke a bowl and some don't. Isn't that the line? Some people like to get drunk and others they won't.
I don't care. Do what you want to do. Lord knows I do like my drunk drafts.
Dude, I'm completely 100% pro drug. So sorry if that offends some of our listeners or whatever who aren't. And I respect those that aren't.
That I'm 100% pro drug.
Oh, but sure.
I'm not.
Dude, we could use some population control. If you want to shoot up with heroin and die, go ahead.
I mean, see, my big thing is if it's a drug that doesn't hurt other people.
Sure.
Then I don't give a flying fuck, but the drugs that like, okay, like pot.
So get rid of alcohol. Alcohol destroys more families.
It does. It absolutely does. But the thing is, like, have you ever seen anybody geeked out on PCP?
Sure.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody on a rage of PCP is more dangerous than anybody who's drank a bunch of, bottles.
Oh yeah.
Honest. Like those are the type of drugs that I'm like, look, man, we don't need that shit. But like most other drugs, I'm kind of with Ryan on it. I don't care.
Yeah, dude, it's whatever.
Do what you need to do. It's your body. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. As long as you ain't hurting other people, I don't care what you do.
I don't believe our government needs to be wasting tax dollars telling people what they can and can't do with their bodies. That's just me.
Yeah. I mean, some of the medical things, the clinical things, that's a little different. But you know what? Most shit, you want to go blow a line of cocaine? Go blow a line of cocaine. It ain't my life you're ruining. It's yours.
Yeah. And although I don't support it, I support your right to do that.
Yep. So our next question. Thanks for the question, Sid. Our next question, and this one is titled AMA Read Me. It's from Nathan Bain.
Okay.
Hello, long-time listener, first-time emailer. I am Nathan Bain, and I am the proud owner of the 100th Posse Care Package. That thing was sweet that I sent out. Just want to say that your show is now my favorite show. Of course it is. We gave you stuff. Just joking. I wish I could talk more in the Posse, but with work and life, I just don't have the time to bullshit with you guys all the time. I've got a couple quick questions for you. Ooh, I see three of them.
Nice.
Ooh, and a PS. Sweet. So the first one. Who had the idea to create the Posse on the Facebook? Okay, this is an easy one to answer because I'm pretty much the only one who can't answer it. It was my idea, but I tasked Will to do it, and Will was the original founder of that because I had so much going on when I was starting this show that I was like, Will, I need you to just set up a page on the Facebook, and he absolutely jumped right on it, and that's what got the ball rolling there.
Now, I will take credit for the name.
Yeah, Ryan's the one who came up with Posse.
take credit for that.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, the actual page itself that was created by Will, by my urging.
Love you, Will. Get the fuck back on here ASAP.
Dude, he's in the middle of New York right now. He's not hearing you.
I know he's not.
Like, he has no access to the interwebs.
And he is hearing me, though, on this subconscious level, this bond we have.
Let me tell you, I think he's quite ignoring that subconscious bond. He ignores the one I have with him, that's for sure.
He feels my vibes.
Okay, any recent news on the Fosse cast? Nope, have no fucking clue where that went. About a month ago, I got contacted again about them possibly restarting the idea and maybe a little bit of help with the editing and things like that, and then I never heard back.
I'd be so down to do that on the side with anyone in the group.
Ruben,
spit it at me.
Ruben, this was your baby. Give an update on the page. Okay, this one's kind of cool. Number three, what's your favorite car and any unique stories about your first vehicle? You want to do this one first or you want me to, Rye?
Man, my favorite car is the 92 Buick LeSabre. No, I'm just kidding, man. I love old muscle cars. My favorite car, I mean, fuck, man, the old fucking Shelby, the Cobra, man. Dude, I love old Mustangs.
Okay, he said your favorite. You gotta pick one, bro.
Favorite, though. Ooh, Lamborghini Mercy. That's hard to call. That's a really tough question, man, because I really love cars.
Okay, let's just say right now I drop a bunch of money in your
pocket.
You can buy one car.
Right now, if I could go grab a car off a lot, I mean, aside from the like $400,000 like Maybach or something,
I'd put whatever you want in there, man.
Nissan GTR. I'd go Skyline all the way.
Okay.
That's what I'd go out and get right now if I could go grab a car off a lot.
If I could buy anything right now, it would be a mint condition 76 Roadrunner. No questions asked. That's my favorite car of all time. Like, I mean, I almost bought a fucking chassis for one last year. It was just the frame. I was going to have to build it from there, but I almost bought that motherfucker because it's just.
I have a guy in the group with an old Barracuda that's.
I know.
Can't recall the name of the dude right now, but fucking awesome.
What a nice car, man.
What's the car?
I was showing it to guys at work because everyone's like, oh yeah, fucking nerds play that game. And I'm like, check out this dude's car. Tell me he's a nerd. And they're like, looking at the Cuda. He's like, all right, that one's not. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I do want to specify on the Nissan GTR, it would be the 2015 Nismo edition. That's what I would have to go with.
If I was going to go with a newer car, Aston Martin just released the concept car that they came up with. They're only going to make 10 of them. It's their first true supercar, and I love Aston Martins as well.
Nice.
Like, DB7 is – the Aston Martin DB7 is clearly my second favorite car of all time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Any unique stories about your first vehicle, Ryan? I got a great one.
Go ahead, man.
So I buy this car for $300.
Right away. We're off to a good start.
Okay. Now, back in the day, your typical junker was between 5 and a G when I was 16.
Uh-huh.
So you could find a decent junker for in there and drive the thing for a year, and that's all I was trying to do. So I get this car, and I owned this car for 2 weeks before the engine completely locked up because it had a small oil leak that I did not notice. And I drove it home,
Okay. Parked
it, drove it around for a few days. Never thought, you know what, I just bought this car. The oil was good when I bought it. I checked it. Never thought I might have to add some oil to it or anything. I just thought it was good, and I'm driving down the road. I actually picked up a hitchhiker, okay? And I'm driving down the road to take this dude back to the same town I was going to.
Okay.
And I got like a quarter mile after picking him up in the car.
Why the fuck did you pick up a hitchhiker?
I knew the guy.
Okay.
It was like I'm driving down the road, dude, stumbling, and I'm like, I know him. Hold on. Let me pull over. So I pull over, and I pick him up, and I made it like a quarter mile after picking him up before the fucking engine locked completely up on me, and I had to call someone to come get it. Oh, was it a fucking – you have any interesting stories?
I mean, my first car was a goofy-ass old, like, I want to say it was like a 92 Honda Accord four-door or something. Thought I was cool, put the speakers in it and shit. Yeah, I kind of fucked up the engine and trying to, I was like neutral dropping.
Oh, that'll tear your tranny up.
Completely fucked it up. This was a good experience to learn. Man, my first car was just a lot of fun, dude. I just remember cruising around like bitches in high school, man. Your first car is the shit. Like, thought I was cool plugging the CD player into the tape deck.
You know what I mean? Trying to be cool, put like,
oh yeah,
light under the dash and shit. Like,
oh dude, we all did it.
16-year-old boy shit.
I had a, my second car actually was a Ford Tempo that I had to replace the tranny in and replace the engine in at different times because I thought my Ford Tempo was a race car. And I used to put, I used to get that thing up to 120 mile an hour.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. I blew the engine up on that motherfucker, and blew the tranny out eventually too. So, I mean, like, I fucked up a lot of cars before I learned.
Yeah, aside from fucking, I wish I could say I had some goofy, like, I mean, dumb shit happen, you know, spinning around in bad weather. So I did get stuck in a ditch once with a friend late at night and we were kind of out in the middle of nowhere and just, instead of calling for help or anything, we just sat and smoked a bunch of joints in the car, had a good time, and then pushed it out, like, didn't get caught or anything. Just, you know, I had fun times, like, first cars, like, silly, you know, just acting a fool and whatnot. Everyone does it. But I don't have any crazy, like, I got in this nutty accident or anything crazy like that.
Yeah. Okay, so, P.S. from Nathan here. I can never thank you enough for the care package. I wear that black posse shirt every time I get a chance when I get on my motorcycle. He got one of the first generation shirts.
Yes.
In his care package. So that's sweet, dude. I'm glad to hear that you wear that and that you enjoy the care package we send you. Thank you guys for your questions. That is really cool of you. Ryan, what the fuck has been up with you besides updating your computer, you prick?
Updating the computer, working on this Rabble Red deck, you know, figuring out sideboarding and whatnot. I know there's some interesting articles online. If anyone is interested, check out Going Platinum with Rabble Red by Raphael Levy. That's an article I've been kind of basing my testing off of. But let's see, building a few decks for the Gauntlet here at home. Got the green-white deck from the Pro Tour. Threw that together the other day. Gonna give that a run as well. Junk Planeswalkers. So just playing here at the house. Obviously updating the computer. Game day was last weekend. That was an experience. I played fucking Bant the Friday before at F&M. And Bant's cool. I've been on that, obviously. I think I talked about that on the show already. And then decided to go with Esper.
Okay.
And, yeah, I ran Gerard Fabiano's list, which in hindsight might have been a mistake. Cause he didn't include any last press and I really needed some last press. So I ended up putting some in and then I went to a second game day. I top eighted the first one I went to, but didn't have good luck at the second one. Just was really just very in stout. So
that's shitty.
It happens. So I haven't been up to too much. Work has been kind of picking up a bit. So I have some big shows coming up and whatnot. So that'll be fun.
Oh, that's cool. I don't know if you guys have noticed I have a little list tonight and I've tried to hide it. I've done a piss poor job at it. The reason is, I have more dental work done and I'm getting there. It's slowly getting done and we'll see. I'm also thinking, and I'm sorry guys, of shutting down the Pit Imps website.
Okay.
It's just a money drain and I don't get enough content to put on it and it's become like a spam magnet. Like every comment I get on any of the articles is spam and I just have to delete it.
That's no bueno.
Yeah, it's no fun.
We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I mean right now it's just a money drain. I'm gonna hold on to the name, you know, the domain name or what have you.
Obviously.
Yeah, Sunday I watched SummerSlam and, you know, anybody that was on Twitter saw me tweeting like crazy about that because, you know, that's always fun.
Don't tell me you spent money on that.
I have the network.
Wait, what the fuck do you mean by the network?
The WWE network. It's $10 a month. Yeah, it's $10 a month. You get every pay-per-view and you can watch any of the old matches from ECW, WCW and Within Limits and the WWE.
Wow. So you could go back to like throwbacks when you were a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I watch a lot of ECW on it.
A lot of ECW. Like Mankind, Undertaker, cage fights.
Yeah, you can see that. The other day I watched, Undertaker versus Kamala.
Oh shit.
Yeah, like I went back and watched I watched a lot of crazy old ass shit. I watched, Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior.
And wrestling, just, I see it now and it just, I don't know. When I was like fifth grade, sixth grade, shit was cool as fuck. With Stone Cold Steve Austin and shit.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. When I watch it, I shut that switch off in my brain and I just let myself buy in.
Yeah, it's
the only way to do it. Cause if not, you're going to drive yourself bananas watching that shit.
They just have gone so crazy with the storylines and shit. I couldn't.
The storylines right now are actually kind of weak. Yeah. Although the other night I got to watch Brock literally. I've been watching wrestling my whole life. I've never seen a title fight that one-sided. Dude, he just beat the holy hell out of Cena and then pinned him. I was like, this is great. I figured out how I can play Magic Online properly now. Check this out, Ryan. Tell me this ain't fucked up. Because of like lag issues that get worse as I play.
Yeah.
After like I draft, I have to log out, log back in. After one round, I have to log out, log back in. And I have to do that every round.
That's ridiculous.
To get through the shit. And it absolutely is driving me fucking insane. But it's the only way I can play and get full tournaments in without just giving a round away because I get kicked off of the, because it fucking just, the lag just stops.
And see, this is what like I don't get why people put money into this. I feel bad for you, man.
So do I. But at this point, I mean, I sold most of my paper stuff when, you know, when I jumped into V3 5 years ago or whatever. And it's just too late. Like I can't, you know, it's too expensive for me to just all of a sudden go, all right, I'm going to go buy all this car, all these cards now in paper. It's just, it's too late.
Yeah.
I'm kind of stuck at this.
We are getting a new standard's about to rotate pretty heavy. I think you could get in come cons relatively cheap.
It would have to be me obviously getting in come cons. And this is the honest to God truth. Like I probably will rebuild my deck that I've been playing online, but it's going to be expensive. As far as I'm concerned, because, you know, let's face facts, I've gotten used to paying online prices, and those are cheaper, plain and simple. Right. But, so I'm going to pay money, you know, to get back in if I do. But, like, if I didn't do that, what I'd have to do is the way I used to collect. And when I used to collect, I would go out and buy a case with every set that came out and just crack it.
Damn, that's a lot of cards, yeah.
Yeah, it would cost me, like, $500 for a case. So, you know, six boxes for $500. Good deal, right?
Yeah, that's legit.
So I would buy the case and I would sit at home and just crack the whole fucking thing. And then if there was a couple cards I needed, which usually there's usually a few, I would draft for a few weeks and just see if I got them. And if I didn't get them after a few weeks, I just fucking order them.
Or trade.
Yeah, or trade. One of the two. But it just became a, I don't know, like I can't see me doing that because what it would happen is it would be like cons. I wouldn't get in really in until the following big set came out. You know what I mean? When standard rolled to where it was like M16 cons and whatever was left, that's where I would actually be in, you know, the way I used to be. And it just, I just can't see me doing it. I have my new list. I have made some changes to it. It's a future junk list. I took out my Arbor Colossus, which I don't know if it's right or not, but
sideboard.
Yeah, out of my sideboard.
That's okay. That's it's not seeing much love right now, so probably
it's not. There's only a couple flyers that worry me, and most of them I have spot removal for, so it's like I don't think it's worth it to keep them in.
Namely, Demon and Nightwheel Spectre.
Well, I'm not worried about those. They're going to be gone.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm more looking at like Storm Breath Dragon,
yeah.
Hornet Queen or whatever the fuck that card is.
Card. I hate that card.
Oh, that card's so good. But like a Bow Blight takes care of most of it.
Yeah, I still hate that card. It's just annoying.
Yeah. So, but like I added a Lily. I also took out one Nyx Fleece Ram and put in a
Liliana, bro.
What's up?
I like the new Liliana.
It's good against control. I wouldn't play it really against anything else. But I also put in a Scuttling Doom Engine. I took out a Nyx Fleece Ram for that, and I think that's right.
I hope Scuttling Doom Engine sees play.
If Elspeth sees play, it's going to see play. Anytime I play against an Elspeth, I bring it in. And you know what happens to said Elspeth? I don't waste a Hero's Downfall on it. It just dies to the Scuttling Doom Engine.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Because they're just like -4, and I'm like, okay, bang, and kill your Elspeth. You know? Every time it just happens that way, and I'm just like, all right, I'm good with that. It did its job.
It does say kill target Elspeth.
Yep.
So.
And that's the only reason I bring it in, so. I don't know if there's, I probably would think I would also bring it in against Garruk, but I haven't run up against another Garruk deck yet.
Yeah, Garruk is not, he's just not seeing much love.
Hey, he sees a little bit in the Junk Walkers decks, but you can only play max two of him.
He's popping in and out. Yeah. He's in some, he's not in others. Like there's people are trying him. We didn't see any of them at the Pro Tour, and that's what I'm, you know.
My whole thing is anytime I've dropped him, I've never lost a game after dropping him.
Hey, he's very good.
And I mean, just, it's like one turn of him, it just ends games.
I mean, unless you drop him and they go Hero's Downfall, you'll probably win.
Well, even that, dude, I have actually been Hero's Downfall, and just the Death Touch creature, just it's just like, oh, fuck. Or I killed something huge with it and gained a bunch of life, and now I was out of reach. It just, or I killed, you know, their key planeswalker. Every time anything like that has happened, I've always won right after playing a Garrick. Yep. He's good, dude.
I like him. I mean, I just hate that he's 7 mana. But
the earliest I've gotten him out was 5.
I do like him, though.
Yeah. Turn 5, Garrick, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's really good.
I mean, 6 has been about my average. If he was in my opening hand, you know, like 6 is about the average. I've casted him later, obviously, but it's because I haven't drawn until later. Because he's usually, you just cannot run more than 2 of him. Like 2 is probably like the right number.
Yeah, I would
maybe say 1.
Even run more than 1.
Yeah, I mean, it's tight as far as stuffing some of him in there, so. But, you know, I made those changes to my junk deck, and they're kind of working out.
Is to your junk.
Yep, I will not call it that other name. Shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to Braden, Sid, and Nathan for their questions. Thank you so very much.
I'll second that.
I also need to give a shout-out to Brian Beamer. This is Beamer MTG on Twitter. Give him a follow, folks. My man is going through hell right now. What type of hell am I talking about? He lives in downtown Ferguson, Missouri. He is an MTG player. And he's living through that hell, you know, and he's being brave, so.
Yeah, shout out to him, dude. That's shitty to have to be there. Obviously, it's crazy right now, so.
Yeah, but I mean, he tweets, and he shows a lot of what's going on there, so, I mean, yeah.
Well, that's dope. Hell yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Give him a follow. He's a good dude. You know, I feel his pain, man. Like, I mean, living through that, I've lived through some riots and shit, and not to that extent by any stretch of the imagination, but, like, I know how freaky it is when, like, nighttime comes, and that's when you're up to make sure that your shit doesn't get fucked with.
Yeah.
Shit's crazy. But you got any shout outs, Ryan?
Shout out Steven Raphael for this, morph sleeve thing he's got going on.
Yeah.
His Kickstarter. I don't know, maybe Angelo, you can get that link in the show notes or something.
Yeah, maybe. It's on the page.
Yeah, check that out. Check that out. Go support that Kickstarter and get some cool ass morphs, please. I mean, if morphs is gonna be your thing, why not?
I can remember like 2 years ago, Jeeves said something about, I wanna make a sleeve for morph. And I'm like, why? It's not even in standard. Like, no one plays it in modern or extended even.
Oh, is Jeeves in on this idea?
Yeah. Yeah, it was his idea to begin with. He was going to fund the whole thing himself, but turned out the sleeves cost a lot more than he expected because of how many he had to have made.
Yeah, he got out thousands.
Yeah, so now they had to do the Kickstarter to get these made. So, yeah, that's cool. But, yeah, it's a Bro Deals thing.
Awesome.
You got any more shout-outs?
Nah, man.
Sweet. Okay, so shout-outs are done. What's up's done? Contact info, Ryan.
At Brother Ryan, hit me up. And, of course, the Facebook page, Pinimps Podcast. Check us out.
Yep, yep. You can get a hold of me at pinimppodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can find me at Gonksuo on Twitter or MTGO, where if you want to join a clan, just ask me. I'll put you in. It might take a day or two, but I'll get you in there. Aside from that, next week we have GP Kobe, GP Sydney, and SCG Washington, D.C. We got tournaments back. Thank fucking God.
Yeah, 2 GPs. Do we know what format they are?
I know the new page is fucked up and I couldn't find it. So, until next week.
Yeah, fuck ass Scandinavia.
Have a good one, folks. You fuck yourself.